Well, as I said, tonight we commence a new series of talks. In the footsteps of Jesus, this particular book was written in history, just like we live in history. If you like, there's a line from the beginning of time running through to the end of time. And we're somewhere about now. We don't quite know how far we are from the end, but here we are. And at the very beginning, of course, Jesus created the universe. The inflection point of history was when Jesus was born as a human, when he lived and died and rose from death and ascended to heaven. There's a period, we don't know how long, from now until Jesus returns to judge the world and take his people to be with him. Of course, before Jesus came in human form, he revealed himself to people in history, ones like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses. And those accounts were written down in a library of books. The Bible is a library of 66 books, and there are 39 books leading up to the point when Jesus was born, the Old Testament. And 27 books in another part of the library, which tell about Jesus' time onwards. And the book we're particularly looking at is this book, the account that Mark wrote down of Jesus' life, the Gospel of Mark. Four books which give us a summary of Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Mark gives us a lightning sketch, a rapid outline of Jesus' life. And so the topic of tonight is beginnings. And in a way, I've got to cover two kinds of beginnings. I'm dealing with the beginning of the series, so I'd like to give you an overview of what we're looking at. And then also look at the beginning of the book itself. So let's just think of the overview. What is this book that we're looking at? Who wrote it? As I said, it's believed that it was certainly got the name Mark. There was a young man called John Mark who was present in the life of the early church. It was possible that it was a room belonging to his mother that the disciples met for prayer. He was the cousin of one of the apostolic leaders of Barnabas. He was with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. He was probably associated with the Apostle Peter, and it's believed that a lot of what we have recorded in this particular book, the book of Mark, has Peter as its original source. If you look at some of the accounts in the book, they really bear that mark of eyewitness testimony. And perhaps Mark listened attentively to Peter's preaching. Perhaps he sat down with Peter and learnt from him. Nonetheless, in this book we have the account of one who was a close associate of the apostles, probably the apostle Peter, who's giving what essentially is an eyewitness record of what Jesus did and what he taught. It was probably written around the 50s AD, so quite soon after Jesus, within 20 or 30 years of when Jesus was crucified. And as I said, it deals with those topics of what Jesus did and taught. There are three groups of, well, apart from Jesus himself, there are three other groups of people that Mark speaks about quite frequently. He speaks about the disciples of Jesus. He speaks about the crowds who gathered around Jesus, and he speaks about the religious leaders who interacted with Jesus. So as we go through these 16 talks, Bible talks, about the book of Mark, you'll notice over and over again, Mark tells us about Jesus. He tells us about the disciples and the interactions between them. He tells us about the crowds who gathered and the religious leaders. And we've got lots to learn about how those interactions took place. Now, if you got the whole of the book of Mark and arranged it on 8 pages, that's what it would look like. And if you got all of the words that Jesus spoke in red, that's what it would look like. So that just gives us an overview, a bird's eye view, backing right back the whole book of Mark. We can see how much of that book is a record of what Jesus himself personally spoke. So it's very much a record of Jesus' teaching and also Jesus' actions of his practical obedience to his Father, the practical way that he lived out the good news. And one other thing that will become evident tonight and will become evident again and again as we look through the whole book is this. There's a word immediately. It's sometimes also, the idea is also there in the form of as soon as or at once. And if you get the whole of Mark in 8 pages and you highlight in blue all of the times that that idea of immediately or at once or straight away occurs, there they all are, all the way through the book. And you can see there's a real bunch of them early on in the book. Mark is very keen to give us a rapid fire view, overview of Jesus' life. Over and over again, we see this word immediately and straight away, and then this happened, and then that happened. Bang, 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 bang. And it's very characteristic of Mark. In fact, if you look at how often this word occurs, it occurs probably about 4 times more often than it even occurs in Matthew, which is the next most frequent book, and it doesn't occur anywhere near as often in the other books of the New Testament. So Mark is characteristic in his use of this particular idea. Tonight, that's the chunk of Mark that we're looking at. So that gives you sort of a sense of how many bites. We'll be taking 16 bites out of the whole book, and that's the bit that we'll look at tonight. So hopefully I've given you a big picture view. There's the view from the balloon and the view from the bicycle. We've had the balloon view. Let's try to get the bicycle view as we look at the beginnings. What does Mark want us to focus on immediately as we commence the book? Now, if you were here last week, I encourage you to read the first chapter, because if we spent time reading through the whole chapter tonight, we probably wouldn't have a whole lot of time left over to talk about it. But I expect that you possibly noticed the first words that Mark uses, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you'd never opened a Bible before, if you'd never heard anything about Christian things before, I expect you'd think, what's a gospel? Who's this Jesus Christ, and is he really the Son of God? And okay, this is the beginning of the gospel. How does it go on? Mark jumps straight in. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's what he wants us to focus on immediately. So as we go through, I think there are three things that we can remember about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First of all, it was prepared. It didn't just happen by accident. It didn't happen as some freak of historical, the mishmash of historical forces. It was prepared. Second thing we can know about it is that it was announced. And then the third thing is that it was commenced. So, in what way was it prepared? The other, well, two of the other gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, tell us a lot about the preparation. They speak about the ancestry of Jesus, who were his forebears, and they give us quite comprehensive lists. They tell about that sort of background, but the background that Mark gives us is to speak about how the prophets, remember we looked at that timeline, how God dealt with humanity by revealing himself to particular people in the Old Testament. Mark quotes from two of those prophets. He quotes from the prophet Malachi, that was the last book of the Old Testament, and the prophet Isaiah. He says, "The prophet said, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Isaiah said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Mark is telling us about John the Baptist, who was the next step, if you like, the last step before Jesus in the preparation for the good news. Because that's what gospel means. It means good news. The beginning, here's the beginning, says Mark, of my account of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was prepared by the prophets telling it was going to happen. And the particular thing the prophets, that he mentions, that prophets said was going to happen was that somebody was going to come to prepare the way for God's rescuer. So John the Baptist was the one who did that. And he did that by preaching and baptizing. He preached to people. He declared a message from God. He said, you should turn away from a rebellion against God. And as a sign that you want to be clean from your sins, you should be baptized. So John had a particular role to play in preparing the way for Jesus. And Jesus himself came and was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. And our first immediately is spoken by Mark. Mark says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the first mention after the very first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We don't get anything about who Jesus' mother was, who his ancestors were. It's just, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and he was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending out upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is good news. Good news that the gospel was prepared by the God who is three in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all present and active here. The Son is coming up out of the water of the Jordan. The Spirit is descending on him like a dove. The Father speaks from heaven and says, "You are my beloved Son. I'm very pleased in you." But there's further preparation. Jesus, in a sense, himself needs to be prepared, and Mark tells us immediately coming up from the water, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there 40 days, tempted by Satan. We sang in our first song about how our experience as God's people can be challenging at times. We can find ourselves in desert places, in difficult times. Jesus was prepared by the Holy Spirit, by his Father, to bring the good news by going out into a desert place where he was tempted for 40 days by the enemy of God's people, by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, but God sent angels to minister to him. The good news was prepared. The prophets spoke about it. John the Baptist came and preached about it. John baptized Jesus. Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted to overcome God's enemy, the enemy of God's people. And finally, that time of preparation was complete. And it was time for Jesus to announce what he was about. So Mark records for us, after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark is really keen that immediately, straight away, as soon as we start reading this book, we're caught up with the whole idea of gospel, of news to be announced, news that was announced back in the time of the prophets, news that was repeated by John the Baptist, news that was announced even from heaven when God the Father spoke. But all of that preparation had come to completion, and Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. All the preparation's over. Here I am. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's about to be ushered in." And his message, it was a message to the people there. It was piggybacking, if you like, on John the Baptist's message. And it's a message that I have for you tonight as well. That message is repent and believe in the gospel. Turn away from following your own way. Turn instead to follow God's way. Stop believing that you can rescue yourself and believe in the rescuer that God has sent. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the announcement of the gospel. As Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. And then thirdly, we see in this beginning, this first chapter of Mark's gospel, how in a sense the gospel was commenced. Jesus then went into action to put what had been prepared, what had been announced, into action. How did he do this? Remember, we said that Mark gives us an account of groups of people. He tells us about Jesus himself especially. We saw all of that read all across those 8 pages. Jesus is preaching. He's teaching. He's acting. He's doing. So it's emphatically about Jesus. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But we also see him with disciples, with followers. We see him with crowds around him, and we see him with the religious leaders. How did Jesus get those disciples? Well, Mark records for us that Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw 2 men, Simon and Andrew, his brother, They were fishermen, they were throwing nets into the sea, and he called to them. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Instead of catching fish, you can catch people. And what word do you think Mark uses to describe their response? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little further, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee. And immediately he called them. They left their father Zebedee and went after him. So Jesus called a group of disciples around him, and he went into Capernaum, an important city up at the top of the Lake of Galilee. And immediately, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Now, as he taught, the people who heard were astonished. They weren't astonished because he spoke in some language they couldn't understand. They weren't astonished because he was dressed differently. John the Baptist dressed differently. He was dressed in a different way, but Jesus simply stood up and spoke, and it was what he said, and particularly the fact that he spoke with authority. They were astonished at his teaching. He taught them like someone having authority. The religious teachers of that time basically all referred to each other. They said, "Well, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that." People would come to them and say, "Look, I'm in this difficulty. I don't know what the right thing to do here is." And they'd say, "Well, look, you know, this religious authority says that, and that religious authority says that, and you know, you can weigh it up." Jesus spoke with authority. This is what God says in his word. And Jesus showed the compassion of the rescuer that God had sent, or his compassion as the rescuer who God sent, by healing. We have an account here of one who was affected by an unclean and evil spirit. And Jesus rebuked that spirit, and the spirit came out of the man and stopped afflicting him. And the people were astonished again, and they said, "What is this? He's not just teaching us with authority, he's speaking to the demons with authority." And they obey him. Here is someone different. And this really is good news, isn't it? Mark's focusing us on good news, straight up, immediately. No beating about the bush. Good news to have someone who can teach with authority and not dither around like so many of the religious leaders. Someone who can deal compassionately with someone affected by an evil spirit and cast it out with authority. And Mark says, as a result, immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And as soon as, or immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they went into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's mother-in-law was very sick. She had a fever. Jesus was compassionate. He took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. She was so restored to health that she actually served them a meal. That was on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day ended when the sun went down, and so as soon as the sun went down, his fame had gone around. Everyone who had a relative or a friend who was sick, who was being afflicted by evil spirits, brought them so that Jesus could heal them. Mark says the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So Jesus commenced the outworking of the gospel by calling disciples by preaching and teaching with authority, by healing and restoring. There's another way in which he inaugurated the gospel. Mark says in the morning, after that very, very busy Saturday, early on Sunday morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Disciples came looking for him, and they found him. They said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." But he said, "Let us go into the next towns, so that I can preach there also, because for this purpose I've come forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. Mark records that he healed another afflicted person, someone afflicted with leprosy. This man knelt down and said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and said, touched him and said, "I am willing, be clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleaned. So Mark has focused our attention very much in this beginning, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the fact that the good news was prepared well and truly. It was announced. It was commenced. But we have to ask ourselves tonight, and I would challenge each one of us to consider, what difference does this truth make in our lives tonight? Sure, God has prepared this message from centuries, from thousands of years ago. He's sent his Son. He's even announced from heaven that this is his Son. But what's that got to do with me? Mark says this is the Son of God. This is good news. This is a message of forgiveness, of healing, of restoration. If we don't obey Jesus' exhortation, if we don't repent and believe in the gospel, we remain outside the kingdom of God. We remain under the judgment of God. So all I can exhort you to do tonight is, as John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as Jesus himself said, repent and believe in the gospel. Come, lay hold of him. Don't put it off. Do it immediately, as Mark would have you do. Amen.